Well, this is a great honor to be able to share the word, of course, on Chinese New Year. And I'm getting ready to preach a message. The title of the message is, The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich. Can you say that with me? Amen. So, Happy New Year. 新年蒙福. Amen. I just pray the blessing of the Lord will be upon you. I'm not joking. It's not just words. I'm praying for this church service and for you. I was praying for you before I came here that this will be a year of blessing and favor. So let's read our key text. We'll pray together and we'll make some comments, okay? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 says these words, The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. This is the Word of God we're speaking about. So let's pray together right now, and let's honor God in the preaching of the Word. Father, we thank You. We're continuing in worship together. And we ask, Lord, that You will open our hearts and our minds to the truth of Your Word, that You will stir us and touch us in such a deep way, and that we will feel the blessing of the Lord, but we will walk in the blessing and the favor of the Lord. Thank You, God, for this family of God. Thank You for Pastor Jonathan, Miok, and their children, Lord, and their great kindness to me and their great father and mother heart to this church family. Bless them and reward them. May this be a year of great blessing for them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Let me just say something about Pastor Jonathan and Miok. Every time I get together with them, we always eat Chinese food together, of course. But on a few occasions, we went to watch movie with them. It's one of my favorite remembrances of them. They talked the whole movie, and they were asking each other questions about what is he going to do now, you know? And they were laughing, and I was laughing at them. We have to do that again when Jane comes. We have to go watch a movie together again. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. We'll talk about that all in its entirety, but let's start on the front end. Because the word blessing is an interesting word in Scripture. And I want to explain the nature of the idea of blessing in the Scripture. What is the idea of blessing in the Bible? The word blessing, it really means the favor, the reward of God. It means that God's hand is upon you. It means that you have a sense of contentment no matter what your circumstances are. Actually, the word blessed actually means happy, but not like our happiness of our world, because the happiness of our world is totally dependent on our circumstances. When everything is good, we can be happy. When things aren't so good, we're not happy. I want you to look at the notes here and follow along with this thought. Think about this. I call this the blessed position or the blessed position of the Beatitudes. If you know the Beatitudes, starts in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Jesus gives us blessings. Blessed are the poor in the spirit. Poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Happy. The Beatitudes. If you want to remember the Beatitudes, think of it in this idea. The Beatitudes. It's an attitude to have which will make you happy. You see, if we live according to these premises and principles from Scripture, we will be blessed and happy. And Jesus talks about this idea of happy attitudes to have. The beautiful attitudes, the Beatitudes. Someone also said this, that the word happy means to be envied. Did you ever see someone that their life made you envied? You know, just driving here today, well, you're going to know that I'm just visiting, so I'm borrowing a car from a great friend, and he's got so many cars, but this time all his family are back here in Penang, so he said to me, the only car I have for you is a Conchil, you know, as old white Conchil, his small little car. Anyway, I'm loving driving it. You can park easy, you know, and it's really a lot of fun for me. I feel like I'm, you know, driving go-kart, you know. So anyway, I'm having a lot of fun with it. But when I was driving here, I saw the latest Bentley car. I mean, like the number on it was like P something one, you know, that it only had two letters. And then I looked at that and I thought, I like my Conchil. I thought, I can honestly say when I saw that Bentley car, I wasn't thinking, I wish I had that. I didn't feel that kind of envy. However, there are some people who their lives are so much like Jesus. They're so peaceful. They speak such kind words and affirming words. Sometimes when I meet these people, I think, I want to be like them. I want what they have. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So I have a question for you right now. Are you happy? We got about 20%. Look at somebody right now and just say, ask them, are you happy? And make sure they're smiling at you. Make sure they smile at you when you say these words. When we speak of blessing, I want you to realize something. The Bible that you hold in your hand is a book of promises. It's a book of promises. One of the old hymns of the church is Standing on the Promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. What does it mean to stand on the promises? It doesn't mean to put the Bible on the ground and stand on it. It means to trust in it, to believe, to pray the promises, to live by faith with the promises. The promises are yours. Christ has promised us so many things. To say something else about a blessed life, you need to realize as a Christian, the Christian life is more about what Christ has done for you than what he requires for you to do for him. He wants to do more for you than he ever would expect for you to do for him. Now, out of gratitude, when you receive a blessing, you respond in some way. Now, right now, I'm wearing a watch on my wrist right now, and I'm going to tell you, I love this watch. I love this watch for one reason at the top, the person who gave it to me, and he's sitting on the front row. And honestly, when I'm looking at this watch, sometimes when I receive a gift, it reminds me to pray for the person who gave me the gift. Here I am. I'm praying for my friends, Pastor Jonathan and Miok. I'm looking at this watch. I received it. It makes me grateful, and it causes me to respond. When you receive the blessing and the favor of God, it causes you to respond in some way or another to serve the Lord with gladness, to serve the Lord with your heart. So when we understand this nature of blessing, we can really truly live the blessed life as Christians. The Bible says this, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6, the house of the righteous is filled with treasure. Just say that scripture with me out loud. The house of the righteous is filled with treasure. Well, what are the most treasured things in your house? Well, of course, you know, this is the year of the rat, right? Can I tell you, I want the year of the rat in my own life to be over because my home, underneath my home, I got an infestation of field rats from all the fields. We live near kind of a forest area. Some field rats went under my house and we heard them crawling around. The year, for me, the year of the rat is over in Jesus' name. Amen. But we just came through the year of the pig, right? Is that true, right? It was the year of the pig. I was in Hong Kong. I'm going to Hong Kong next month or the month after. But when I was in Hong Kong last few months back, I was walking down Nathan Road, like the shopping paradise road of Hong Kong. And I walked by one gold jeweler after another. And I remember seeing this big gold pig about this big, and on the bottom with chains had all little piglets nursing, you know, and it was all gold. I mean, it was all 18 karat gold. I was thinking, who's going to wear that around their neck? You know, that's a treasure. If you have that amount of gold, that's a treasure. Let me tell you a little story about gold in my own world. I have two brothers, and they're both older than me. I'm the youngest, I'm the tallest, and of course I'm the most handsome of both of them. But I have to speak these affirming words to myself. But anyway, I'm just joking. Please, please go. Please, Lord, you know I'm just joking. But anyway, my mother had passed down a treasure from our family. And the treasure was a gold bracelet. And my mother was going to, she was destined to give it to her firstborn daughter. The problem is my mother, they tried to have so many children, and my mother miscarried so many times. In fact, the doctor told her, don't have any more children, but they tried one more time, and it was me, and I'm so glad they did, you know. But anyway, here I am, three boys, no girls. The gold bracelet remained in my mother's possession, and my parents made a decision they would give it to the first granddaughter. So my two brothers, older than me, got married before me, had children before me. My oldest brother had a boy. Then a few years later, another boy. My middle brother got married, had a boy, a boy, a boy. And actually, we got married overlapping between the birth of his sons. But when Jane and I had our first expecting child, we didn't know the sex right away, but when we had our first child, it was a girl, and I was so excited because of the gold bracelet. And just joking, I was so excited, I was so thrilled. Every year on her birthday, she just had her birthday a few weeks ago, and I wrote, it was one of the happiest and remains one of the happiest days of my life, because my daughter is a greater treasure than that gold bracelet. Say amen. Amen. You see, I preached a message one time, and to me, it's been a life message. And if you invite me back, Pastor Jonathan, I'll share it here. I'm joking. But I called this message, The Important Things in Life. The Important Things in Life. But my conclusion about the important things in life are this. The important things in life are not things. They're people. Look at somebody and say, you're important. You're important. Look at somebody and say, you're a VIP. You know what that means, right? VIP. Very irritating person. You're a VIP. You're important. God calls you a treasure. You're a treasure to other people's lives. And of course, I have two children, and they are like the great treasure of my heart. And we have two grandchildren, and I want to tell you, it is a thrill. Wait till you join the grandparents' club. Wait. It is so exciting. It really is. Things that I used to discipline my children for, when I see my grandchildren doing it, I just laugh. I think it's so funny. When I was a parent, it was like, sit down, don't do that, put that down, don't, what are you doing, you know, stop that. Now I just laugh and I let them do that. And I really think it's funny. When I look back in the rearview mirror to my parenting, I think I was a little too serious. You're going to enjoy it. It's a blessing because of relationship. The important things in life are relationship based. That's why I'm here. I'm here because of a relationship with Pastor Jonathan Meok and many of you. I'm looking at some of you. If I don't remember your name, forgive me. But honestly, I feel the great delight in relationships. That's the greatest gift this side of heaven until we get to be with the Lord. Next to salvation are relationships. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. The house of the righteous is filled with treasure. We're still talking about blessings. Tzufu ni. Amen. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How many of you have heard this verse before? God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Look, who has blessed us. You're already blessed. It's past tense. It's already yours. It's already yours. And where are these blessings? They're in heavenly places. All spiritual blessings are in heavenly places. Notice we have all spiritual blessings. One of the great preachers of all time was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon. I love to read Spurgeon. He was just so amazing as a preacher. He could speak to great crowds before there was ever microphones or amplification. He could speak to thousands of people. One time he went into an auditorium to preach in London, England, and he was looking at the entire auditorium. It was empty and it was going to be filled that night. And he was just looking at and just praying over all the people who had come and thinking about who would come. There was a man who was working on a ladder, working on some lighting or something. And Charles Spurgeon just echoed out with a powerful voice, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he said it again. The man got down off of the ladder and came to the altar and knelt down and said, "I want to repent and receive Jesus Christ." Just by the preaching voice of Charles Spurgeon. What a powerful preacher. But he wrote a text. You could get it for free if you read ebooks. You can get this for free. It's called Faith's Checkbook. Faith's Checkbook. The checkbook of faith. Now, what does that mean? It means that God has got a bank full of blessings, and he calls on us to write the check. Now, as we talk about blessings, we need to be concerned about one thing. Not everything that appears to be bad or negative is bad and negative. And not everything that appears to be good is always good. You see, God is always at work in situations in our life. Say amen. He never stops. He never stops working. Amen. Amen. God is always working in your life. And he takes things that are difficult and bad and turns them into his favor and his blessing. This is the truth of the Bible. The truth of the Bible is that not everything that seems to be bad right away is bad, but it can work for good. Think of the life of Joseph. We won't talk about him, but he was in prison. He was released from prison and went to the second highest office in Egypt, and he preserved that nation, and he preserved his family's lineage and patronage because of his position. Not everything bad is necessarily bad. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. He adds no sorrow with it. That was our key text. Now, listen. It doesn't say it has no sorrow or there is no sorrow in life. But God does not delight in adding sorrows. Do you know there are sorrows in life? There are some people right now in this place. You've gone through some difficult things, difficult seasons in life. Every single one of us will have sorrows, but God does not want to add to our sorrow. He wants to add and multiply joy and blessing. One of the great texts of Scripture is also this. Jesus makes this statement and compares himself and his desire concerning or compared to the enemy. Jesus says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Look at the word life, it's highlighted. It's a Greek word, zoe. Zoe, Z-O-E, with the little dots over the O. Zoe. Zoe. What does zoe mean? Do you know there are several words in Greek for life? One word is bios. Bios, or bios, actually. And we get our English word biology. What is biology? It's the study of life. It's physical life. We're all physically alive. Say amen. Amen. If somebody's sleeping next to you, tell them you're alive. You know, we're all alive. We all have physical life. But this word Zoe means something different. It means a quality of life. It means a blessed life. It means a life of purpose and meaning and fulfillment and significance. I want more of that. Say amen. Amen. I want more of that. You know, I saw just today someone walking down Gottlieb Road as I was driving here. And I saw a man who hardly had any clothing on. And he was walking barefoot. And he was a homeless man and very, very unclean, just a lost soul. And I'm thinking right now, Lord, who is praying for that man? Who cares about that man? God does, but he's not able to live Zoe life until something happens in his life. Of course, Zoe life happens when you receive Christ. Life is so much more meaningful as a Christian than it could ever be without. Life is more than binge watching Korean soap opera. Do you do that? I don't know. You know, I know Korean soap opera is really fun here in Malaysia, or whatever it is. Because I travel a lot. You know, I've got 1,500,000 miles on one airline alone. And anyway, by the grace of God, I'm still able to keep status with them. But because of this, I get some travel magazines through the airlines sometimes. And these travel magazines outline destinations. They want you to spend more wang and go to some other destination. But the new destination for people in the world is Antarctica. Now, who wants to go to the polar ice cap on holiday? Do you know who wants to go? The people who've been to every continent and they've seen everything. They've seen it all. They've been to Venice. They've been to London, England. They've been down under. They've been over the top, Europe, South America, North America. Now the new destination for the ultra-rich traveler is Antarctica. You can go see penguins and whales. And you can go see glaciers that are fading away because of climate change. You know, you better go now because they might not be there in a few years. So get your travel arrangements. I think, to me, I have no interest in ever going to Antarctica. By the way, I love people. I like to go where people are. And so, I don't need to experience penguins. I did see the penguins somewhere down there in Melbourne, whatever that island is down there. Yes, I went down there. I watched those little penguins come out. They walk back in the sea, after a little while. It was fun. It was short, That's not a treasure in my life. Amen. The key is this. God wants to have us to have a life of meaning and fulfillment. Now, Jesus warns us concerning blessings. He warns us. He gave us a warning. Now look at that note there. I have to qualify that because I read it back and I thought my English could be misunderstood. Warnings about riches given about riches. Concerning by Christ. Christ doesn't give gifts or riches that we have to be warned about. No. The riches of Christ are good. Christ gave us warnings about earthly riches. Here's the parable, and I'm sure you've heard this, the parable of the rich fool. And the rich fool said, I have increased in goods. What will I do? My crops have been so big and so plentiful. This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns and I'll fill them. So you have increased in goods and you have no need of anything. And then the word of the Lord was, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. Let's understand something. God wants to give increase to his people. But not so like we're hearing in the offering announcement. That was very good, brother, wherever you are. And I leaned over to Pastor Jonathan. I said, he's starting to preach my sermon there, But you see, the key is it's the Lord who gives us the power to get wealth and not me and my own creative, my own wisdom and my own imagination and my own strength. God is the one who gives us this ability. The key is concerning riches is that we make wise use of the money that he gives us, that we are blessed to be a blessing. Do you know the word for money in Scripture and the whole idea of money in Scripture is that money is to be used as a tool. What do you need to use your money for? Well, to buy food for your family, to buy clothing, to put petrol in your car. And all of these things are needed, of course. But when you think about money and the love of money, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10 says this: he who loves silver will never be satisfied with silver. Now, what does that mean? You can have more money increasing, but if you love it, you'll never be satisfied with it. One of the richest men in the world in a century ago, his name was John David Rockefeller in the United States. He had so much money. His money was multiplying. He had the equivalent of billions today. John Rockefeller was asked this question by somebody: Mr. Rockefeller, when will you ever feel that you have enough money and you can stop trying to multiply and increase your money? When do you feel you will have enough? And his answer was very telling. He said, when I get a little more, then I'll feel like I have enough. But when I get a little more, then I want a little more, then I want a little more. He who loves silver can't be satisfied with silver. You know, money's a tool, right? Amen? Years gone by, people like to stack money in coins. Now we can stack bills or, you know, check it on the web, on the internet, the balance. I heard that there were people who used to iron their money and then stack it all up neat, get it all ironed out. At Chinese New Year, it's most preferable in Ang Pao to have brand new notes inside. And I'm sorry for anybody I ever given Ang Pao this past week. I didn't have all new notes. I'm not so local to have that privilege, but anyway, it still works, by the way, that money in there, but ironing the money. Let me tell you a story. Listen to this. You might want to do a little research on this individual. There was a man named John G. Wendell, W-E-N-D-E-L, John G. Wendell. He was the inheritor of a tremendous financial estate in New York City at the end of the 1800s. All from property acquisitions his family had acquired. And he was given this inheritance, he and his five sisters. But they lived with such frugal means that they were afraid to spend any money, even when he was growing up. When electricity came, they shunned electricity. When they had to walk across Manhattan Island, when they had to travel, they walked. They never took a horse and cart, or they never took a motor car when a motor car came into existence. They walked because they didn't want to spend money on transportation fare. They were so cheap and miserly, John Wendell persuaded all of his five sisters to never get married because they didn't want to share any of the family wealth. Well, he passed away. All of the sisters passed away. One sister was left. When she passed away, the wealth of that family was over $1.5 billion U.S. dollars. $1.5 billion. That's a lot of Hokkien me. I mean, that's a lot of money. Now listen to this last statement about the last sister. She was so poverty-stricken in her own mentality, she wore the same dress for many, many years. One single dress she owned, washed it out at night, wore it again. I don't think that's a blessed life, do you? Come on, somebody. And, you know, I'm wondering what happened to their estate, and I'm trying to put my name in there, you know, Charles Curtis, you know, I'd like to, you know, can you find a way to include me in your will? Let's go on. What's the best biblical practice? Love God and use money. Love God and use money. Because when you love God, you will be a blessing. You'll give of yourself to others. You'll be joyful in your giving. Anne Frank, if you know this name, Anne Frank, she wrote the book, she wrote her diary, which was published as a Jewish young girl. She was in hiding during World War II in Holland, and her journal was published. But she made a statement that's really almost a Christian statement, and she said this: no one ever became poor by giving. In fact, the opposite happens. You become rich by giving. You become wealthy in heart. God says these words to us to encourage us. You are blessed, and I am blessed to be a blessing. So give of yourself. At Chinese New Year, make it a year. The blessed life is to give of yourself to others. It's to give yourself away. And I'm not just talking about giving of your resources. Give of your time. Give of your interest. Did you ever shake somebody's hand and then you're greeting them and talking to them and you're thinking about somebody else, or you're looking over their shoulder? Hiya, good to see you. Hiya, yes. Yeah. And you're distracted. Make that person a priority right there. That's giving. That's a blessing. You're affirming them. Speak affirming words to other people. Build up other people. Speak affirming words. Several years ago when I was a pastor, I had five pastors that used to give input into me and my life. And every one of them, I'd consult them for help on different matters. And I used to send out, now this is a long time ago, I used to send them out a cassette tape of my preaching once a month. And I'd give them of course, I'd send out the best message I preached in that month, of course, you know. Somebody said, you know, hey, that was really a good message. Yeah, well, I just had that one lying around, you know. But anyway, I gave them the best preaching message I could. But one time, my friend wrote back a little note card and said, your sermon was a winner. Well, this man, he was a champion of preachers. Your sermon, it was on a little note card. Your sermon was a winner. I took that note, I put it in my office drawer, I opened my drawer, I looked at it so many times, and I took so much encouragement from those few words. Your last sermon was a winner. Your last sermon was a winner. We need to encourage one another. We don't know how long it will take. One time, I wrote a little note with pencil. I love to write with pencils, by the way. Pencils are my favorite thing to write with. I wrote with a pencil, just on a piece of scrap paper. I just wrote to some friends. I said, I see Christ in your life, in your children, and in your marriage. And, you know, much love, Charles. And I put a little scripture text there. That, you know, not beautiful piece of artwork. I didn't print it at a print shop. A pencil on paper. I went to their home several weeks or months later. I saw that in a frame on the man's desk. It was in a picture frame there. It was hanging there, and I thought, wow. And it was just for me, a brief thought, but for him, it was a remembrance of blessing. You have that power to be a blessing. Say amen. Amen. Speak affirming words. Build others up. Lend a hand. Give of yourself, of your expertise. Give of your skills. Right now, I'm a consulting pastor in America as well as doing missions with a mission group. So I have really two positions that I'm holding. But one of my jobs is to be the missions pastor and to be the membership pastor. So as soon as I get back, I'm going to teach classes on membership. And this is the way we conclude our membership. Everyone, we call on every member. And I would challenge you, as every Nation Penang people who are here, honor God with your time, your talent, and your treasure. Give of your time, you're here. There's a blessing for you here. You know, you're here on a Sunday morning. You're blessed. There's a reward for you being here right now. Do you know that? You could be somewhere else. You could be sleeping in, you know, on second day of Chinese New Year. But anytime you come to church or anytime you come to a prayer meeting, of course, prayer meetings are always, you know, not as well attended. But anytime you do anything in the name of the Lord with your time, there's a reward for that. Your talent, your skills, if you're an IT person and you're an expert at a certain area, if you can offer some help to the church or to the kingdom, whatever you can do, offer that to the Lord. There's a blessing that will come back to you. And of course, your treasure. If God has increased you, you can give. If God has, if you're just getting by, your offering is still a great gift to the Lord. It matters not the size. So my last thought is this. What should we do now? As believers in Christ, what should we do? Well, I want to encourage you. Receive this abundant life of blessing and give it away. Give it away. I want you to stand to your feet and let's pray together. I know I've ended early and now we're going to have 30 minutes of prayer. I'm joking. I intentionally kept this short so that we can just go and continue to celebrate the treasures of family and relationships. And I want to pray for you. But I'm going to ask you to do something. If you'd find somebody's hand next to you that you know and care about, or if you're comfortable to join a hand with somebody or put your hand on their shoulder. And I just want to pray for you, but I want you to pray a blessing on the person right near you. So if you feel comfortable, just go ahead, put your hand, join the hand of a loved one if you're here with a husband or a wife. And let's pray together right now. First of all, let me pray for you individually as I've been praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the blessing of Almighty God to visit every individual in this place. Would your hand of favor be upon them? Would they be blessed in a way that God alone can bless? Give them abundant life, a life of meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. Thank you, Lord. You won't add sorrow upon sorrow to us, but you want to add joy and victory to us, Lord. Bless every individual, every family represented here, every home represented here. As my brothers and sisters go from this place, may they be blessed as they return home, that their home will be a place of favor, of joy, of health, of provision, of healing, of laughter and happiness. Thank you, God. So now as we put our hands on the shoulder of someone near us or we're joining the hands of another, would you bless, Lord, the hand we're holding, the shoulder we're touching? Because we can't do this alone. We need one another, Lord. We are the body of Christ and we need to strengthen one another. So God, would we give away right now? We want to give away a blessing in prayer to those whom we're praying for. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for this family of God. Thank you for Pastor Jonathan and Miyok, Lord. Bless them this year, a year of favor, a year of blessing, Lord, will overtake them. We believe and bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Give him a clap offering. Would you do that? God bless you.